Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Supercoach podcast. Apologies from Steve tonight, but we've got Wayne obviously in the house and special guest Nell. So welcome, gentlemen.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Good, thank you. Thanks, Uncle, for the welcome.
Well, it's a bit of a shame that we didn't do this podcast last week because I reckon you were fuming about 7 days ago.
No, I'm still going after 14 days after this round as well.
Take us through your team now. So how's it going and what don't you like and what do you like? In fact, what do you like won't take long, but what don't you like?
Well, week before last was obviously a disaster because I had Cripps captain, so he went down in the first quarter. This is more to do with like selecting the wrong rookies on the field. It's like I started Rochelle ahead of Jack Hayes. Just little bits and pieces here and there. And obviously most of my premiums sputtered it up. I had obviously got Rowell in my team, got Ridley who's underperforming. So it's just those type of things, which obviously you lose points here and there. And at the end of the day, it all adds up. And this week I only just barely scraped over 2,100. So dropped another 7,500 places now down to be like 34,000 overall. So my season's done and dusted pretty much.
Yeah, it was a good week for me, 2,279 this week. And really hit you up about not jackpot with not having Rochelle or Rowell or Short. In fact, I reckon possibly couldn't have done two better trades this week. So I got rid of Rowell and also got rid of I can't remember who the other guy I got rid of. It's going on me now. Come back to me later. But anyway, I bought in Jack Sinclair, which was an absolute master move. And also dragged in someone else that I can't remember either.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you do not trade after you've had a few drinks.
I've got it here in front of me, although that's trade history for this week. So Rowell and Bowie was the other one because he had a break even of 80 and I thought, well, time to go. I didn't expect him to do as well as he did, but his cash gen is still dead. So Bowie out for Sinclair and Rowell out for O'Driscoll. So yeah, net gain about 70 points, but Sinclair and O'Driscoll 220 between them, which is absolutely sensational. So good week for me and bounced back finally with my super midfield that I've got there. So caught up with the pack a little bit, and I think I'm around about 14,000 at the moment. So yeah, climb up the pack. How did you go, Wayne?
Strange thing, beginning of this morning, I was 2-2-2-2, and I had no players playing today apart from De Koning and who was it? McDonald on the bench, no ease on them. I get to the end of the match and they've taken 8 points off me. So I'm down to 2014. 2-2-0-1-4. So
how'd that happen?
I have no idea. No idea. So anyway, I improved 12 spots. So I'm just on 2,800. At the moment. So not a bad position.
That's a good result.
Sorry?
That's a good result for this time of the year.
Yeah. Considering I've only done 4 trades, so I'm quite happy. If I'd stuck to my guns at the beginning of the year and my number one gun was Brayshaw, Andy Brayshaw, who I had at M5, and this is a sliding door moment. I got rid of Brayshaw so I could bring in Rowell so I could upgrade Hewitt to Whitfield. Now, they're the sort of moves, last-minute moves, 2 days before the beginning of the season that kills you. None of those.
We're laughing. You're sitting at 2,000.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, Wayne. If you kept your before those moves, you'd be in the top 500 by now.
If I'd stuck to my guns with Andy Brayshaw, which I will say, Uncle Jiska did ridicule me for that. Right, he did ridicule me for Brayshaw, but he had a 131 average in the last 7 games last year. I mean, all the signs were there that he was going to have a really strong year. Anyway, water under the bridge. That's the only, apart from that, I've nailed all of the rookies. My side's in a good position. I've got to make a decision now as to how aggressive I go this week.
Yeah, I think we're at the crossroads. Quite a few teams are at the crossroads this week, and some big trade calls coming up, and obviously DPP changes as well, which we'll cover off a little bit later in the podcast. But who do you reckon needs to be culled at the moment? I mean, I touched briefly on Bowie before. With an 86 in there, you could probably hold him if you got him. But Matt Rowe, I'm so glad. I was in two minds, and Wayne had noticed because we were talking about it, as to whether I took I was looking at taking Hinge out, but then I decided it's only 1 week and he's scoring well, so keep him in. And I was taking McCartan out for ages, and then I don't know what came across me, but sitting there Friday night, I thought, no, I've had enough of Rowe. I'm taking him out, and, gee, that's turned out to be a masterstroke. So I think Rowe has to go. Are we all agreeing on that?
Yes, it's a matter of whether it's this week or next week.
I've got Rowe in my team. He's going this week. I watched that game on Saturday, and I was just fuming. But he was running around with Steele for a while. So the week before, he was tagging one of the Carlton players as well. I don't know what Jew's thinking. He's like, he's not coaching for his survival if he's getting Rowe to tag like one of the gun midfielders from the opposition. So I think he has to go. And what I'm doing this week is I'm upgrading Rowe to Steele. So that's my one.
Rowe's a strange one because he came back from that big injury at the end of last year, and he wasn't doing much at the end of last year either. He was just sort of running around like a headless chook, and we sort of put that down to, well, he's just not match fit and he hasn't been out there. And, you know, he's come out with a pre-season he has, and I think he's played a 167 or something in round one. But, I agree. He looks lost. Doesn't look like he has a role. Role seems to be changing every single week, which seems bizarre because, you know, after he played in round one, took Miller and him just absolutely tore the Eagles a new one. And, you know, fair enough, it was a waffle side, but why wouldn't you just play your best players in the best positions? It's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
So who else needs to be called? Well, as a Port Adelaide supporter, you probably don't understand much at the moment.
I was waiting for the first.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there.
That's the first cheap shot.
Yeah. No, let's not. Well, I was going to have a cheap shot about the Adelaide and Port Adelaide supporters getting along each other a podcast. That's pretty unusual, but anyway. So who else needs to be culled? Who do you reckon is just done and dusted, got to get rid of them?
I'm pretty big on this one. I think Grundy has to go. My main reasoning behind that is I've watched a lot of the Collingwood games this year. I think he's been scored very generously for his output. One of the strengths of Grundy in past years is he's been able to get from contest to contest, and he'll link up with the player as well. This year, you're seeing none of that. And even on Thursday night, for a ruckman not to even take one single mark or even lay a tackle, it's just abysmal. And it just, to me, it looks like he's just going through the motions. I don't know whether it's a change in game plan under McRae or what the story is. I just, for that amount of money, I think you can put that money to better use elsewhere. So this week, I'm getting rid of him.
Yeah, and this has been a big discussion, obviously, on the board over the last couple of days. Do you hold or trade him? I mean, I tend to stick with the primos, and I don't think he's done too badly. He's scored a 124, 101, 96 and a 118 before he's obviously had a stinker the other night. The changing factor for me is Sam Hayes. So Grundy's up against Sam Draper this weekend, and he absolutely smashed Sam Draper. I think two out of the last three games he's played against Essendon, he scored 150 plus. So he's always just goes nuts against them. So for me, I'm looking at bringing Preece in just by taking Hayes out and sort of putting Preece in at R3 and putting Grundy on watch. And I think I'll have a look at what he does this week. If I'm not impressed or his role's crap or he doesn't score well, then just take him down to Sam Hayes and bank the cash next week. I understand it means you'll lose another 30K, but I reckon it's worth the risk. You can still bank the 400 next week. So that's sort of where I'm heading. What about you, Wayne?
Yeah, I'll hold Grundy. It's the same story as Gorn a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Everyone said dump him. It's a two-ruck team in Melbourne. And look what he's done the last 2 weeks. I think we have a tendency to want to get rid of these primos way too quickly. And if you put Preece in, you're going to have to trade him out at some stage anyway. So you're just burning trades, in my opinion. I understand the argument. There's a lot of money that you can spread around if you put Preece in there, but you're starting to play ruck merry-go-round. And my experience in previous years is that only ends up in tragedy.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I've got a good mate of mine, I think we spoke about in the first podcast as well, that just tried the cheap rucks every year, and English and Witsy tried nearly every year. Well, if he'd done that this year, he probably would have creamed it. But every year he's spending five or six trades in the rucks. I think going into the season, everyone said Gawn's gone, he's gone. Grundy's the number one. And I didn't look at the time, but I reckon Grundy would have been one of the highest picked players going into the season. I think everyone thought that he had a bad year last year. He'd bounce back this year. He was going to be the number one ruck. So I think most people went with Grundy and then got rid of Gawn and said, well, I'll go Grundy, Witts, Grundy, English, Grundy, whoever, Grundy Preece, for example. But Gawn was the one that dropped out. So Grundy was a staple on everyone's sides. And I just don't think five rounds in, when he scored 100 or close enough to 100 in four of those five, and then coming up against Sam Draper this week, is the time to do it. Again, I understand the want to get that cash, but you're right, you're just going to have to trade someone back in later. So I'm tending to hold him and maybe downgrade to Sam Hayes if I don't see what I like or don't like what I see this week.
Yeah.
I guess my point of view is, like, if I kept Grundy, then obviously I have to put Preece at R3. And I think in my own personal position where I'm ranked so bad that I'm just going to have to throw caution to the wind, because I can't afford to have, like, say, 200 or 300K sitting on the bench just earning money over a period of time until you can trade Preece out. I think I'm just going to have to make the cut with Grundy this week and put Preece. And then now with the position changes, you've got, like, people like Zeri and also both the Hayes boys on the scene, and Dixon as well, that if Preece fails, then you can just toggle those around for the time being and assess who's going to be the best ruck option for R2 later on in the year.
Yeah, it's a fair call.
Just on the DPPs, for everyone who's listening, can I suggest you have a look at the rules and helpful hints thread about repositioning your DPPs? I had a Driscoll in my defence. I had Dacos in my mids. I had De Koning and McCartan both sitting in my defence. I've now repositioned Dacos and Driscoll both sitting in my defence, and De Koning and McCartan being repositioned into my forward line, and it hasn't cost me a trade. I've just set up my team to take advantage of all the new DPPs.
Yeah, we like to call that the read before posting thread, Wayne.
Yeah, which no one ever reads.
I do like referring to the read before posting thread.
But this is a thread everyone should read, because everyone's going to be in the same boat where they would like to reposition some of their DPPs and they may not think that they can do it.
Yeah, no, it's a good call. So what are we doing with rookies that haven't moved? So there's a couple of them, and surprisingly, going into the preseason, I think we're all saying, well, there's no defensive rookies, there's no forward rookies, and all we've got is mid rookies. Well, as it's turned out, the mid rookies are the shittest rookies we've got, and really the forward and defensive rookies are quite good. So we've got Connor McDonald. Howe obviously isn't playing anymore. Owens isn't playing anymore. Ward, I tell you what, I couldn't trade him quick enough. So what other sort of... Koning serves a purpose at D7. He's good enough cover. He's not great, but you know what? He's better than nothing. There's so many forwards, it's ridiculous. And now I think I'm repositioning my team to start more or flip the rookies around, because I've got Hayes sitting on the bench, Dixon sitting on the bench, and even Durden. So who are the rookies that you're looking to get rid of? I'm getting rid of Ward. He can't stay. McDonald's probably pretty good bench cover, but I can't get rid of Howe and Owens at the moment because they're just not worth anything.
No. Nelson, what are you doing?
This week I'm using one of my trade boosts, because I'm going to go down swinging in with my trade boosts over the next few weeks. So to bring in Rosas, I'm going to get rid of Gibkus down back, move O'Driscoll from the mids down to defence, and then move Rochelle from forward line to the mids, and that will allow me to bring in Roses. I got rid of Ward last week. I brought in O'Driscoll for Ward, even though I've been talking up Ward quite a bit in the various threads and whatnot. But the last 2 weeks before, although in fairness today, in the last quarter, he did show a bit. But I think he's just not finding enough of the ball for this, for what his price is. I think he can do better options. And like O'Driscoll was a no-brainer to bring him in then. But if you watched him play yesterday, he's just got an elite left leg on him, so he's good ball you. I think he's going to make a lot more money than Ward's going to make. So, and out of all the other rookies, like, as you said, Jiska, SDK is probably just a placeholder at D7 for the moment. He can just sit there forever in the day until the time comes to trade him out. Probably the only other one you may be looking at trading out is the small forward from Carlton, he might be on the chopping block, but I think I'll probably reassess things next week and see who goes well this week. And then if I want to bring in Sam Hayes next week, then I have to shuffle things around and maybe cut one of those forward rookies.
Yeah, I think I'll get rid of Durden this week. The only way I could keep him is really to swing another midfielder or trade out Howe and swing midfielders around, but I don't like what it does because it puts Nick Martin on my mid-bench and I don't want him on the bench, I want him on the field. So I reckon Durden's gone for me this week. He's only got another 20 or 30K in him, even though he's got a low break-even. What about you, Wayne? Who are you getting rid of?
I've got rid of Horn Francis. So at this stage, I'm looking at Horn Francis to Roses. And I'm looking at potentially McCartan up to English.
Big move.
Yeah, I reckon McCartan to English is probably, I'm looking at a 66 average versus 115 average. So I think that's a pretty strong move.
Yeah, but don't you think McCartan's got a bit more money to make?
Yes, but for me to do it, it's either got to be Rochelle or McCartan. And Rochelle's still got that DPP into the mids. So he's still got that flexibility. McCartan's got the flexibility into the fence. So that'll just be one of those calls I make over the next few days. There's only $15,000 difference between the two players. So one of them will go to English. Now, that having said that, that's with me keeping Rao. So
yeah, be cool, be cool.
And the reason
what's his break even?
Who, Rao?
Yeah,
103.
Yeah,
we won't get that. Not in current form. So well, he's gonna lose money.
The thinking there is if I hold Rao for one more week, he's probably going to slip a few dollars, but next week it becomes Rao to Piggy because Oliver's due to drop another 29,000 this week.
So Gold Coast are playing Brisbane this week.
Yep.
The way that Jew's currently coaching, you think that Rao would go to Neil?
Well, like,
It looks that way because he's probably the type of player who Neil's like similar stocky build, so they'll probably just keep up with each other. But Neil's a far better player, of course. But
well, Rao got in the presser with Drew, he copped a bit of flack as to how he was using Rao. So will he continue with attacking role or will he free him up this week? Because he's obviously not getting a result with Rao tagging. So you're tying up one of your best players in a defensive role, free the guy up. But the other thing that might happen this week, I looked at Davies' score. There's every chance that Davies could get the axe this week. And that might be a good thing for both Tuk Tuk and also Rao. So I'll give Rao one more week, see how he goes, and if he flunks again, he becomes Oliver next week.
So rookies on the bubble. We've obviously got Rosas, which I think, without speaking to you two about it, I'm assuming we're all saying that we should try and get him if you can.
Yep.
I think we've got a couple of Collingwood boys, Kruger and Wilson, down back. They're pretty expensive, about 200K each. And I don't think there's too many other people on the bubble this week, is there?
No.
I don't believe so, no.
Ben Hobbs from Essendon, I thought, played a good game. He looked like a goer.
Yeah, he's not a guy that I would bring in. I'll give him a miss. 65
for 150K.
Yeah, I'll give him a miss. He's
only a mid only, isn't he?
He's not going to find enough of it. What do you get?
I thought he looked all right yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good.
As what Jiska said, he got, but in a team that was getting pumped and night, he was one of the few people in that bit of the third quarter and the last quarter that found a bit of ball in the Essendon midfield. So I thought he looked all right.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good, actually. I quite like the look of him.
Oh, no, he's going to be a very good player. Not denying that. Who Essendon playing next week?
Well,
Collingwood. Talked about it before. Anzac Day.
Anzac Day clash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's had 15. Hobbs has had 15 possessions, going at 80%. Three contested. Five tackles.
Yep.
That's a pretty good debut.
Look, the other rookie I'll bring in will be Marshall. Not Marshall. Sam Hayes.
Sam Hayes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got Dixon sitting at R3 at the moment. So next week, Durden will go out. Dixon will go down into the forward line, and Sam Hayes will go into R3.
So are you getting Bruce?
No.
All right. Okay.
No. I don't have the confidence that if he was rucking one out, I would consider it. But if he's sharing it with Flynn, if he's not playing next week, he plays the week after. There's just too much uncertainty with Bruce. There's no continuity.
I share those concerns completely. It's good that GWS is playing Friday night, so that'll be the first game off the rank. I think if he shares it with Flynn, I'm going to second guess myself and might skip it and go to Hayes instead. Too many. I mean, it's different. It's different if it's Flynn, because Flynn can play up forward. I mean, I saw Bruce pretty closely at Melbourne. He can't play forward. He's bloody hopeless up forward. So he either rucks by himself or he just might not.
There's so many mitigating factors with Bruce. There's like, you don't know what Leon Cameron's going to do, because he's got absolutely no idea whatsoever. Bruce might have another brain fade and get suspended again. It's odds on that's likely to occur. Just so many variables with Bruce, but I think just for his price and his potential output, even if he does play a timeshare with Flynn, in my situation, I think I just have to take the chance and run the risk of him either getting suspended or doing something.
Yeah, that's why I reckon. I reckon if you take him, you've got to play him at R3. I mean, can you imagine taking him at R2 and then he goes down injured, or he gets suspended, or I don't know. You'd have to start Dixon in there, and Dixon, you know, he pulled out that 100, but generally speaking, 60s or around about that range. I just think there's too much of a risk putting him at R2. I reckon if you're going to bring him in, he's got to sit at R3.
Yeah, I think this year might be the year to do it, because with the 5 additional trades, like if it was a normal year with only 30 trades, then they'll probably be hesitant to do so, to put Bruce at R2. But I think this year, because you're not going to trade a player out if they're just missing out 1 week with the COVID protocols. So I think I'm willing to run the risk. I'll give it a shot. And if it blows up in my face, well, can't go any worse than where I'm at the moment. So
so talk to us about Sam Hayes, because he just looked like he absolutely ran out of pub after halftime this week. And I reckon, I mean, I know they've got no one else, but surely you get a couple back and just pinch hit and ruck and give him a week off to rejuvenate. You don't want to run him into the ground.
Well, I think Port's hand is forced at the moment, because apart from Sam Hayes, The only ruckman on the list is Vicente, who got drafted in last year's draft. He's shown a few good signs in the SAFL, but in regards to Sam Hayes, the best thing for Port to do in their current position is, like, this season's a write-off, is just to play him for the rest of the year. He scored reasonably well yesterday. His tap work was, I watched him closely, and you're right, his endurance is sadly lacking at the moment. And I, the player that he reminds me of is like Tim English from about 4 or 5 years ago, exactly the same boat. He just didn't have the strength to run around the ground. But Hayes, his biggest asset is his tap work, and that's where he scored most of his points yesterday. I think he scored, ended up with 75, I think.
Yeah.
Clung that mark in the goal square in the third quarter, which he should have taken, then kicked the goal, he would have had like a 90-point game on his debut. So,
and I look at Charlie. What about Charlie Dixon? How far away is he?
Charlie is probably another 4 or 5 weeks away. And
you can't
expect anything from Dixon because he's had no preseason. So he's going to have to play like a good maybe 3 or 4 games in the get match fit before he comes in, and like, even then I wouldn't even throw him in the ruck because it's just not a worthwhile exercise. So just throw Sam Hayes to the Wolves, and he'll just have to survive in over the next 10-12 weeks while Lysett's out. So but I saw enough yesterday to think that he's going to make it. So
it almost makes me think maybe I'll just get Bruce myself. A lot to think about. DPP, so they've obviously come out about an hour ago. So there's quite a few there, surprisingly. I think there was good 50 or 60 players. The ones that are probably super coach relevant, Connor McDonald, obviously forward mid, Dane Zorko, mid defender, Jack Sinclair, my boy, mid defender, won't be much of a POD anymore. Jordan Dawson, defender mid, Luke Parker, forward mid, Nick Martin, forward mid, Nick Dacos, defender mid, Patrick Pinsky, forward mid, Durham, forward mid, Pendlebury, defender mid, Goldstein, forward ruck, Libba, forward mid, Zeri, forward ruck, Butters, forward mid. Do any of those appeal, gents?
The most important one for me is Dacos going into defence. I think that's a ripper.
Yeah, Nick Martin forward mid helps a bit too, I reckon.
Yeah.
But are there any of those DPPs that make players you haven't got suddenly attractive, like a Scott Pendlebury, for example?
I think maybe either Pendlebury or Zorko, like down back. The only problem with Zorko is he didn't have much of a pre-season either, and you'd see him, like during games, he's hopping in the background and... And the only issue with Brisbane as well is obviously like they've got both, I think Coleman's due back anytime soon. So does he go back to his normal spot down back? Where does Zorko go? And he's like Rich is going to play on the other half back flank, of course. So, but Pemberbury is probably the one to look at. Is like, it's just going to be like, I think, like there was times on Thursday night against Brisbane where they threw him into the midfield because they, I think he's like manning up against Neil there at one stage. So I think Pemberbury is the one to keep an eye on. He's like, he can be a consistent like 100 point scorer. So that's just my point of view.
Yeah, I think the really interesting one for me, the one that I'm really keen on, is Luke Parker up forward. I was really keen on him pre-season, actually. I considered starting him before I decided to go with my star started mids, and he came out and scored a 167 in the first round. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, I made a mistake there. And he's gone 73, 76, 39 after that. But I think his role changes, sort of playing a bit of a defensive role in those couple of rounds there. He's thrown back into the mids last week against West Coast and scored a 123. And he's obviously, I think last year he averaged around about a 115. So if he's back in that midfield role, I mean, watch this week because I think he's still got a high break-even or a break-even about 120 or so. But I think he's about 480 odd at the moment. So as a forward, I think he's a really good option.
Yeah, Parker's always been the type. I've had Parker in my team over the years, and like you're right, he'll throw in like the big scores like the 140, 150. But man, he'll throw in a lot of stinkers in that as well. So he's just too up and down for my liking.
Yeah, interesting one. What about fallen primos? And I know we sort of touched on a couple of them, Oliver and Took, which pissed me off because I started with both of them and now everyone's going to have them. Who else are you sort of looking at over the next couple of weeks and just about to jump in price or fall in price?
Well, for me, the two I need to get in is English and Piggy. So they're the two. English is still at a reasonably good price.
You've got Took already, have you?
Sorry?
You got Took already?
Yep. Got Took, got Steel. So I need to get Piggy while he's down because he won't be down again this year. This will be the lowest price. After next week, that'll be the lowest price you'll be able to get Oliver in.
What about yourself now? So who are you saving that money for?
I'm going to use the money this week to get Steel. I think he's right for the picking because I've got Took and I've got Miller and got McRae. I tell you what, Took is just shitting me off at the moment because last year he was just racking up these scores week in, week out, and I didn't have him. This year, he doesn't even lay a tackle. He's just waiting on the outside. I know, like, he's an elite runner and that, but he's just not getting involved in, like, the inside the packs and tackling and which, like, boosts up his score. So he's kind of pissing me off at the moment. But Steele is probably one that I'll need to target. As Wayne said, English is another that I'll need to get into my team at some stage and throw him down the forward line. And obviously down back, I think you probably have to, now that Sinclair's got his mid-defender status, I think he becomes a must-have.
What about Travis Boak and Ollie Wines, who are both about 150 break-even?
I wouldn't be touching Wines with his heart condition at the moment because there's just too many variables there at the moment. So I think he's due back. From what I've heard, he's due back this week. No guarantees, but I think anything could happen with that. It's like you've seen that type of thing with Robertson from St Kilda. Like, yeah. You just don't. It's just on and off. You can't plan for anything.
What about Boak? Because I was absolutely keen on Boak, actually. And I was looking at Sinclair. I ended up doing him, but I was looking at Boak as well. But he's pumped down an 88, which is not disastrous, but 157 break even. He'll fall to about 580, 590.
Yeah, no, Boak always starts the season well, but he tends to, like, drift off towards the end of the season. So come Supercoach finals time, it's probably not the ideal type of person you want to have in your team based on previous seasons. It's probably a sad indictment on the Port midfield that he's probably still our best midfielder because he just gut runs from contest to contest. But from a Supercoach perspective, I couldn't select him. He's just... But I love the way he plays in that, and like he busts his gut every time. But from Supercoach...
Supercoach finals last year, 109, 106 and 134 in the grand final.
I'm trying to remember who Port played in the last few weeks of the season. We played the Bulldogs in the last minute of the game.
Well, just looking back to 2020, now we know those scores were inflated as well, but the finals in Supercoach that year was 116, 149, 117, 100. So it hasn't actually done too badly in the season.
Well, the thing with Boak, you know, touchwood, I should say this, is that he's never been out for like a great length of time, so he's very durable. So, if you want to go down that path, you can. So,
what about, let me pose something to you. What about Jake Lloyd? Haven't been spoken about most of this season. I think a lot of people would have started with him at D1. I certainly did. And then really surprised me once I selected round one and took him out. I don't know what his ownership is at the moment, but it wouldn't be very, very high. What do you think about Jake Lloyd?
From my perspective, I'm trying to work out how each of the sides are playing their defence at the moment. From what I've seen, most of the teams are playing one-on-one defence. They're not throwing loose men behind the ball. Now, that tends to render Lloyd a little bit inoperative. In fact, it's also affected players like Ridley and other players who thrive on being the third man up. But to contradict that, watching the Geelong and Hawthorn game today, there were loose men everywhere behind the ball. No wonder Sicily and Stewart got so much of the ball. There was no opposition player anywhere near them. So I can't quite work out what the method of play is at the moment.
Do you think that Lloyd's still a top six defender? I know that Hall's out of the equation now because he'll be out for probably a few months at least, and then you'd be very game to pick him up. But you look at the other guys, you've got like Tom Stewart is a lock. Sinclair's now a lock. And then you're really into, yeah, Hewitt's a lock.
I really like Stephen May. He's a really, I had him last year until he got that six against Geelong when Tommy Hawkins knocked him out about 20 minutes in and I almost threw up in my pants and then everyone bought him in. I like Stephen May. I love the role he plays, intercept defender. He always takes the kick-ins. I think he takes 100% of Melbourne's kick-ins. I don't think I ever even saw anyone else kick out on the weekend. So there's Stephen May as well. James Sicily has to be in the equation. Jaden Short, obviously, will be up there. So will Chris Dawson. You're right. It's a good question. I don't know if Lloyd is in that category anymore.
He just shits me the way he plays because they just really just like being like a chip scab. It just drives me crazy.
Oh, sorry. The other one we forgot, of course, is Sam Doherty as well. He's having a blinder.
Yeah. Well, I brought Doherty into my team last week because I just, like, what that guy's been through, I just love the way he plays. And, like, compare him and Lloyd. And they're just chalk and cheese as far as I'm concerned. Like, one guy's prepared to put his body on the line, and the other one's just a seagull. It just shits me the tears.
What about forwards? Isaac Heaney, obviously, I still can't believe I didn't start Isaac Heaney, but I suppose he burnt me too much in the past. I had him again last year, he burnt me. Tim English is obviously going to be a top six. Josh Dunkley, which I think everyone has anyway. Jordan DeGoey, maybe. I don't know. I mean, Will Brody's probably a top 10 at the moment. Who else up forward are we looking at?
Oh, I think you've just about nailed them.
Butters would be one.
Yeah, I think everyone has Butters and Dunkley. I think they're the two that everyone has, and Cobbs, obviously.
Yeah.
At this stage, I can't think of anyone else who's probably... Well, you could probably throw Treloar in the top 10.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd ever have him in my team. Not after the still won't forget the time I traded him in. He did two hammies, double hammies on fucking couldn't believe it. Halfway through the game, I just don't like him. I enjoyed watching him burn everyone last year. It was fun.
You know, he's in 21% of teams.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a surprise, actually.
That's a high number.
Yeah, 21% of teams.
All right. All right, we'll probably wrap it up there, I think, gents. We've covered a fair bit there. Some DPPs coming, obviously, and it's upgrade season, so it's time to start culling those rookies. I think, well, probably not this week. The mids are ready to cull, but certainly the mid prices like Raoul and that sort of stuff. So interested to see what everyone thinks, what their trade plans are for the week. Thank you to Nelson for joining us and hopefully see you all back next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.